Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and Tim from Billings filling in here for Aaron Flint on the show. We're not able to take phone calls to the show, so we've got a special guest. I was trying to line up as many guests as I could just to get some guests on and so that you guys don't just have to listen to me all the time. Luckily, we've got Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson. Attorney General Knutson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, David. Great to be here.
Yeah, so I've got a number of things I could ask you about. One would be this oral argument at SCOTUS regarding the law enforcement entering a home if there's reason to believe there's a life-threatening emergency. If you wouldn't mind just kind of updating our listeners on what happened there.
Sure, happy to. Yeah, so this was a case that actually came out of Anaconda, and it's a Fourth Amendment case. If you don't know the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, obviously that's search and seizure, right? I mean, the general precept is before law enforcement can enter your home, they have to go get a search warrant from a judge. There are some exceptions to that, David. You know that, I know that, we're lawyers, but you know, a lot of folks might not know that. There are certain exceptions that the Supreme Court over the years has carved out of the Fourth Amendment and said
some that make really, really good sense. Like I know one is like hot pursuit. So if you've got law enforcement chasing somebody that just murdered somebody and they run into a home, it's like, no, they don't need to go get a warrant. They can chase the murderer down right into the home. I think that's a hot pursuit. That's one of them. Is that right?
That's definitely one of them. So this is another one. So what we had in Anaconda, I'll just lay the facts out. This we had an individual who called his ex-girlfriend and was threatening suicide. This was an individual known to law enforcement, known to be kind of a handful sometimes, but called his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, and told her, "I'm going to kill myself." And while he's on the phone, she hears him rack the action of a firearm. Obviously puts her, you know, into a pretty worried state. She calls law enforcement, reports this. Law enforcement shows up at the house. And again, this is Anaconda, small town. A couple of these law enforcement officers were familiar with this individual. Guy refuses to answer the door. He won't answer the door. He won't come out. He won't answer the phone. They're yelling through the walls. Cops are announcing themselves. He refuses to come out. In the meantime, ex-girlfriend shows up. She is quite agitated and concerned for his safety. She thinks he's going to kill himself. Officers look through the window of this individual's house. They see an empty firearm holster, and they actually see a suicide note sitting on the counter in plain view. There's about 20 minutes of back and forth, of analyzing, of talking to the neighbor. The point is the police in Anaconda didn't just bust in the door and run in, right? They took a lot of time. It was the middle of the night. They were very, very deliberate about this, and they finally decided that they had enough exigent circumstances. They entered the home without a warrant. They announced themselves. This guy refuses to come out, refuses to show himself. Up until the point he jumps out of a closet and points a handgun at the cops.
And we're up against the break. We're going to come back right more with Austin Knutson right after this.
It's November 6th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Saxophone Day, which marks the birth of the man who invented the versatile woodwind instrument, Adolf Sax, born in Belgium in 1814. Sax created a number of instruments over the course of his life, but the saxophone was his greatest invention. Jazz legends like Charlie Parker and John Coltrane are considered masters of the instrument, and musicians like Clarence Clemens or Kenny G have given the sax crossover appeal in rock and other contemporary genres. Also on this date, in 1984, President Ronald Reagan wins re-election in a landslide victory over his Democratic opponent, Walter Mondale. Reagan soundly defeated Mondale, winning 49 of 50 states. Mondale only carried his home state of Minnesota by a very slim margin. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actress Sally Field.
You like me right now. You like me.
Born in 1946. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls, the chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And then for Aaron Flint, we're lucky to be joined by Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson. Attorney General Knutson, you did a great job of explaining the facts of that case that's up at the Supreme Court. I guess I really am excited about some of the stuff you're doing with the big tech companies investigating them. I want to get to that, but let's just kind of tie this sort of thing into a bow here. I guess a couple of questions. One would be, you know, when do you expect a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on this? How do you think the oral arguments went? And then I guess, you know, Tim and I were just kind of talking during the break that I think we got a lot of listeners that are pretty libertarian when it comes to some of these issues and property rights. And some of our concerns about maybe making exceptions to the warrant requirement. Sometimes the exceptions can get so big, they kind of swallow the rule. I guess what would be your response to that? And then kind of when are you expecting a decision and how do you think it's going to come out?
Yeah, well, so we expect a decision here at any time. I mean, I think likely within the next 4 or 5 months. The oral argument was last month. I think they went quite well. And I mean, this you have to understand. Like I very much believe in the Fourth Amendment. I'm a strong believer that you go get a warrant, you do it right, you check the box. Because I also am a strong believer in private property rights. If we don't have private property rights, we don't have a republic. But the facts of this case really fit within the Fourth Amendment. This was an individual who was threatening harm to himself. He refused to answer any means of communication. He wouldn't answer the door. He wouldn't answer the phone. Refused to even answer when they were yelling through the door lock at him. And then, you know, he jumps out of a closet when they're coming in to check on him, and he levels a gun at him. This isn't like a private individual who was, you know, surprised at his home when the cops kicked in his door and pointed a gun at him. That's just not the facts here. So I think this fits well within the Fourth Amendment. I'm happy to back law enforcement here. Look, the Anaconda cops did a great job here. They didn't fly off the handle. They didn't come kick in somebody's door quickly and surprise them. They really did their due diligence here. That this is a testament to their training and the training we give at the Montana Law Enforcement Academy here in Montana. So I'm happy to support them. I think this is the right move, and I think we're going to get a good decision.
Okay, fantastic. By the way, any listeners out there that want me to ask a question of the Attorney General, feel free to call in, talk to our producer, send us a message on the Montana Talks app. I've got some messages here from the 7 o'clock hour we'll get to once we're done talking to the Attorney General. But Attorney General Knutson, one of the things that I've always appreciated about your office is going after big tech, and you've cited the Consumer Protection Act. You know, it's illegal under Montana law for businesses to basically lie to consumers about certain things and induce them into using their services. I've always thought big tech, you shouldn't be liable under consumer protection laws for them being out there saying they support free speech and then they don't, things like that. But you are apparently doing an investigation involving some of their misleading and deceptive claims about their, you know, being powered by renewable energy and things like that. And I know you've been working on that for a while, I guess. Do you have any updates? Kind of what's the status of that?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting one. We sent a civil investigative demand letter to Microsoft, to Meta, Facebook,
Google, Amazon. What you've got, David, you've got all these big, huge tech companies, and they're all claiming they are 100% powered by renewable energy. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. They absolutely are not. They run huge data centers. Those data centers require tremendous amounts of power to operate all the server farms and all the tech. The idea that a couple of windmills and some solar panels are powering these companies is ludicrous. And we called them on the carpet. And so what you had is what they're doing is they're going around buying these useless renewable energy certificates and saying, well, you know, for every kilowatt of traditional power that we burn from coal, we're buying that amount of paper certificates that swear that we're doing something renewable someplace else. It's just a shell game, David. It's deceptive. It certainly falls within our purview under the Montana Unfair Trade Practices Act. So we put a shot across their bow. Status is these companies are very nervous. They are definitely not liking the attention. They are. It's preliminary. I'm not quite ready to give away the farm yet, but I would say it's very positive. They got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They know it. I think we're going to get a positive result here.
That sounds great. Tim, did you have a reaction to that?
I did have a reaction, a question. So are these paper certificates, or would these be considered a carbon credit, you know, so to speak, for all the renewable energy that they say are, you know, powering these megalithic, monolithic, huge, huge energy consumers?
Yeah, you've nailed it. Yeah, that's exactly right, Tim. These are paper renewable energy certificates. They're just somebody swearing that someplace else we are offsetting our use of traditional energy by doing something green over here. We have no way to police that, and it's blue sky.
My follow-up question, Attorney General, is what does Montana law allow you to do to these companies? I mean, are you expecting to give them a fine and then that fine can be used to the benefit of the people of Montana, or kind of where does it go from here?
Well, the stick that we have, David, is a civil suit. We would be able to sue these companies for deceptive and unfair trade practices under the act that we talked about under Montana law. Short of that, we could probably come to some kind of settlement agreement, which I suspect is probably where we're going to end up with these companies.
That's where most of them go. Hey, I didn't realize we're right up against another break here. More with Attorney General Austin Knutson right after this.
Fox Sports Update.
Relay comes to the point. Chitrin fires. Just missed. Ovechkin turns. He scores! The Great Eight is the one and only.
Jubilation here at Capital One Arena, and we're going to see the changing of the numbers to 900 in his 1,504th game.
On Monumental Sports Network, monumental moment in the career of Alex Ovechkin, who broke Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record last season. Against the St. Louis Blues Wednesday, Ovechkin became the first NHL player to register a 900th goal. Washington beat St. Louis 6-1. Week number 10 of the NFL season begins tonight in Denver. The Broncos, winners of six games in a row, hosted the 2-6 Las Vegas Raiders. The Broncos, an 8.5-point favorite. College football Wednesday. In Muncie, Indiana, Ball State scored a go-ahead touchdown with under 2 minutes to go to beat Kent State 17-13. Toledo trampled Northern Illinois 42-3. NBA, for the first time since Game 6 of last season's NBA Finals, the reigning champion Oklahoma City Thunder lost a game last night. The Thunder gave away a 22-point lead at Portland, where they were beaten by the Trailblazers 121-119. OKC's record dropped to 8-1. Big night for Portland's Denny Avdija. Just missed a triple-double, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. On the same night the Thunder lost their first game, the Brooklyn Nets became the last NBA team to get their first win of the season. The Nets 1-7 after they beat the Pacers in Indianapolis 112-103. Michael Porter Jr. had 32 points and 11 rebounds for Brooklyn. Russell Westbrook recorded the 204th triple-double of his career in Sacramento's 121-116 win against Golden State. Westbrook moved past Jason Kidd for the most rebounds in NBA history by a guard. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
High caliber.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and Tim and Billings here filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson on the line. Tim, you had a follow-up question on these the big tech lies.
Attorney General, Mr. Knutson. So if these companies are getting tax credits in other states for supposedly being 100% renewably fueled and electrified, wouldn't that be tax fraud? And shouldn't these states also be interested in recouping some of that those tax credits that they're doling out?
Well, that's a question for those individual states, but I think you bring up an interesting point. We don't give any kind of those tax credits here in Montana, so that's not something we're concerned about. But boy, you know, in some of those states where they are doing that, I think that's certainly a question worth looking at. I think that's probably why these companies are so nervous and so willing to cooperate with us right now. And they are. Like, I have to give credit where it's due. They got caught. I think this was a big thing during the Biden administration. It's probably a business decision that they decided that they needed to do. I don't know what the circumstances are. I just know I don't like it. If you're gonna say that you're green, you better be able to back it up to Montana consumers that you actually are green. And these companies are not. They are the blackest of black when it comes to the amount of coal, natural gas, traditional energy they are sucking up to run these data centers.
You know what's funny about the whole thing is when these big tech companies, or frankly any company, comes out and says, "Oh, we're powered by renewable energy or our CO2 emission," my response is, "I don't care." And I covered Bill Gates even is now saying global warming is not a catastrophe and really not a whole lot to worry about. But I had a question for you, Attorney General Austin Knutson, which is this. You were very, very busy during the Biden administration filing lawsuits to protect the rights of Montanans. Just curious, are you having a lighter workload these days? You're not having to sue the federal government as much?
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's definitely a change from the first 4 years of my administration. Look, we filed just out of this office 61 lawsuits against Joe Biden. That doesn't count the numerous others that we joined onto, ones that we didn't lead. We were having to watch the Federal Register every day just because of the crazy rules that were being pushed out by the Biden administration. It's a whole new day here. My solicitor bureau is not nearly as busy. They're more focused on state litigation, which is a good thing. You know, the Montana legislature gets sued a lot and we have to defend them. But it's quite refreshing to be working with the Trump White House instead of fighting against them. You know, when things come up, we're able to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, you guys got a problem here. Or, you know, this doesn't work for Montana." And we're able to be on the same sheet of music. It's really, really refreshing, David.
That is. And in fact, one of the press releases I've got is Attorney General Knutson leading a 20-state coalition in support of President Trump's response to the violent rioters in Oregon. And I'll just tell you, Attorney General, as a citizen of the state, I feel much safer, much better about life in general, having President Trump there willing to use law enforcement against these criminal rioters, and having an attorney general like you supporting President Trump's use of law enforcement against in this particular instance, the Oregon violent rioters.
Well, I'm glad to do it. I mean, it's the right thing to do. And listen, it's completely legal. This is where the left really gets this wrong. There are instances where the president does have authority to call in the National Guard. And one of those instances is when federal law is being prevented from being carried out. And that's exactly what's happening in Portland and a lot of these other crazy left blue states. When you've got Portland rioters that are obstructing ICE, they're obstructing ICE facilities, detention operations, they're rioting, they're creating a danger to ICE agents, to federal agents. The president is 100% within his legal right to call in the National Guard to enforce the law when the locals should be doing it and they won't. And look, it's just like D.C. I hate being in Washington, D.C. Like, I'll just preface that. I detest going to that town. But look, I had to go there last month for the Supreme Court argument that we just talked about.
It is so much nicer and cleaner and safer, David. There's National Guardsmen all over the place. And you know they're keeping the peace because the Washington, D.C. Metro Police were not being allowed to do their job by their left-wing chiefs of police and the mayor there. So what did Trump do? He stepped in. He used his federal power. That's a federal enclave. And he cleaned the town up. And amazing. It's safe again. So, I mean, this just is, it's not long division. It's unfortunate the president has to do it. You know, Portland is gone. You know, for heaven's sake, it's not that far away. That used to be a really nice city to visit. I wouldn't wish my enemies to go visit that place now. It's a war zone, unfortunately. So absolutely happy to defend President Trump's actions there.
Go ahead, Tim.
Attorney General, you know, I guess whenever somebody tells you or asks you if the president has that authority, just remind them, ask them which Democrat was wrong in the scenario when John F. Kennedy sent the National Guard to integrate the schools and make George Wallace get off the steps of the schools in Alabama, wasn't it?
Alabama,
long before my time. But which Democrat was wrong in that scenario?
Such a great point. Such a great point, Tim. Absolutely.
So, Attorney General, I'm curious about this, okay, because you're right that President Trump has totally sort of changed the game in D.C. You know, he's also launching military attacks against these drug smugglers. I know here in Billings, there was just a seizure of over 5,000 carfentanil pills. I don't know if it's sort of too soon to be expecting results, but I mean, as a citizen, as a voter here in Yellowstone County, I'm hoping with the combination of the work that you've been doing, with what Trump is doing on securing the border and going after these narco terrorists, that, you know, we shouldn't be seeing 5,000 carfentanil pills coming into the state. You know, when do you think we're going to see real results where, you know, we're not seeing 5,000 pill seizures like that?
It's such a great question. So I'll let the numbers speak for themselves. So you're right. Last week we had a huge carfentanil seizure in Yellowstone County. That's actually the second one in about 6 months. Carfentanil, it's an elephant tranquilizer. It's 100 times more powerful than fentanyl, and we know how dangerous fentanyl is. But look, let me put this in perspective. You asked the question: Are the president's efforts having an effect here in Montana? And the answer is absolutely. When you look at the first 4 years of Joe Biden's administration, I guess the only 4 years, look between 2019 and 2023, Montana law enforcement fentanyl seizures, those 4 years went up 20,000%. The cartels were given free access to the country and they flooded Montana and the entire country, but certainly Montana, with fentanyl. Okay. Donald Trump comes into office. He secures the southern border. Within about 3 months, Montana law enforcement, we've already seen an almost 80% decrease in our fentanyl seizures. This is working. Now, I'm not ready to spike the football because we're still taking a lot of seizures off the highways. This carfentanil bust, that certainly shows. I think it shows that the cartels are pivoting to different products. Because Trump has been so hard on China, on the production of the raw ingredients to create fentanyl. So you're seeing the cartels pivot to other synthetics, and that's what this carfentanil is. But to answer your question, we are absolutely seeing results here in Montana already just in the first year.
Yeah, and you mentioned other synthetics. One of them is this like 7-OH, some kratom synthetic derivative. Are you tracking that issue?
Yeah, we're not just tracking it. We're leading on it. We were the first ones to kind of wave the flag here. But look, kratom is a natural product. The kratom plant comes from a leaf grown in Southeast Asia. There's a couple of businesses there in Yellowstone County that are legitimate businesses. Kratom has been used as a natural herbal tea for literally millennia. And I've got no problem with that. But what we're seeing, we're seeing China, because all roads in the illicit drug game lead to China. China has really taken the lead in synthesizing some of these natural compounds, synthesizing, magnifying, concentrating them. and then putting them out in a concentrated, dangerous form. And that's what 7-OH is. 7-OH is the name for the actual molecule. And what China has done here is they've really gotten involved in the 7-OH trade. 7-OH and kratom are completely unregulated in the United States. They're unregulated in Montana. The Food and Drug Administration has taken no position on kratom. I think we're likely to see that change. Again, I've got no problem with legitimate kratom. I think it does have some medicinal purposes. I've got anecdotal stories. But the highly concentrated stuff, some of that stuff is more powerful than morphine. And you can walk into a vape shop and buy the stuff over the counter. There's no directions on it. There's no dosage on it. People are just taking it and they're getting hooked on it because it's basically over-the-counter morphine. This has got to stop. I think the Montana legislature has got to step in and regulate it at the state level. I think we're very likely to see the feds roll out some kind of FDA regulation of 7-OH. But this is just exploding, not just in Montana, but all across the country. And again, it all comes back to China and likely Chinese organized crime.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've just got a couple of more seconds here, 30 seconds left. I'm going to just read a couple of these messages, and then we'll see if the Attorney General can stick with us longer. Cameron writes in and says, what sort of situation would the Attorney General not support law enforcement officers? Roy in Belgrade writes in and says, a question on tenants being able to sign for themselves and not need a co-signer if they've been on the lease for 2 years. I have a family member who's applying for a lease. She's been on for 2 years, and they require a co-signer even after 2 years of successful payments. Is there anything I can do legally so I don't have to have my name where it's not needed? This is Montana Talks, so we get your messages out to our guests here. We'll come back here right after this with more with Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson.
Mike Rowe here.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
David Noble here. We're filling in for Aaron Flint. Attorney General, did you hear those messages right before the break there?
I did.
Do you want to respond to either one of those? I guess the first one was
sure.
sort of a sarcastic comment towards you, sort of like, do you ever not support law enforcement? When do you not support law enforcement?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what the listener's getting to there yet, but certainly there would be times I would not support law enforcement if they're violating the Montana Constitution, right? Like that's a no-brainer, and this isn't esoteric, David. I mean, I've been a county attorney. I've worked hand in hand with local law enforcement. There's times when once in a while, an officer gets out over their skis or gets a little overzealous or maybe came from someplace else and didn't get great training. It happens. But it really is, to me, a testament to the training we provide here in Montana. We just don't see those instances very often, right? We have a heightened right to privacy in Montana under our state constitution. It's even above and beyond the federal Fourth Amendment. That's oftentimes really hard for federal law enforcement agents who are working in Montana to get their heads around, because a lot of times they want to go do things that are legal in the federal scheme, and we got to go, whoa, no, that won't fly here in Montana. We're not going to be able to prosecute that in Montana courts if you do that. So it happens, but luckily we don't see it with Montana law enforcement very, very rarely. But yeah, I mean, if there was just an egregious violation of the Fourth Amendment, any kind of violation of Montanans' constitutional rights, I'm not going to stand for that, and that prosecution will not happen. So that was the first question.
Yeah, I appreciate hearing that. I totally agree with that. The other one was about sort of a tenant signing after 2 years and requiring co-signers. I mean, I just me. That sounds to me like sort of a private legal issue. I'm not sure there's anything the Attorney General's office could say on that issue, but I guess I'll give you a chance to respond.
No, you're exactly right. So I forget your listener's name, but I apologize. But under state law, I'm not allowed to give private legal advice, and that's what you're asking for, right? You're asking me a question you would go ask a private lawyer. I'm the state's attorney general, but it doesn't work that way. Under the state constitution and state law, I cannot act as this individual people of Montana's private lawyer. So
we got another one here from Mary in Butte. Mary in Butte says, can we stop this data center going up in Butte, and how do we proceed in doing this? Most in Butte are worried about all the power it will use.
Well, Mary, I tell you, you better go talk to your county commission and your city council. I know Butte Silver Bow is a combined county-city government. That's where those discussions need to be had. We're having the same discussion in eastern Montana about wind farms. There's a lot of concerned folks over in eastern Montana, Dawson County, Prairie County, concerned about a large company coming in and putting in wind farms. And they want to know, well, what can the state do? And the answer is not much. I mean, if they were going on state land, these data centers, then the state land board would be involved. But this is going to be private land located in Butte Silver Bow. That's going to be a matter for your local government, your city county commissioners, to decide. You know, are they going to provide some tax incentives? You know, a lot of times that's what these companies are looking for when they're coming in. You know, they want property tax abatement, which your county commissioners have the authority to grant. I'd be having that discussion. Sometimes it gets into zoning. Local zoning, which generally I'm not in favor of, but that discussion's being had more and more at the local level now. So not something I can shoot a bullet at for you here, but I'd be talking to my county commissioners.
Tim had a follow-up. We wanted to circle back a little bit on the drug issue we were talking about earlier. Tim had a follow-up on that.
Attorney General Knutson, I had seen reports on social media, different news organizations that the southern border is fairly well locked down now, but the cartels have, like you said, they've pivoted, and a lot of them are going now to Canada because Canada has pretty lax the standards as to who they will allow in. And a lot of the issues that we were having on the southern border, we're now seeing on the northern border. And I was just wondering if you could confirm that. And then I did have another question for you regarding the law enforcement after this one.
Yes, it's a great question, Tim. It's definitely one that we're monitoring. So historically, Montana's northern border is the quietest section of the Canadian border in all the U.S. You know, we're not the Niagara Falls sector. We're not over by Vancouver. It's very, very rural. It's very, very sparsely populated. And, you know, frankly, for 9 months out of the year, it's very cold. That's been to our favor. We are certainly monitoring now, and I don't just mean the state. I mean, this is a conversation I've had with task force members, especially in northeastern Montana, where I'm from. You know, the drug task force members, FBI, local law enforcement, they're very concerned, and some of the chatter confirms that the cartels are going to pivot, right? They're not going to stop trying to get their poison and their product into Montana. It's too lucrative of a market. The concern is our northern border is not as secure, right? There's a ton of open prairie up there. We don't have a lot of technology at a lot of the ports up there. A lot of the entry points into the country don't have, you know, X-rays to scan vehicles and a lot of the high-tech stuff. Some of them do, but a lot of the smaller ones don't. And so that really is a major concern. It's a concern I've relayed to the White House. It's a concern. I've talked to the head of Border Patrol, U.S. Border Patrol, about 2 weeks ago. They're aware of it. You know, it's tough to do anything right now when Chuck Schumer's got the federal government shut down. But it's definitely something we're monitoring, and I think it's going to keep becoming a bigger and bigger issue for us.
And so the other question I had for you, I guess, you know, the question was, when would the Attorney General not support law enforcement? And I think you gave the perfect answer because, you know, I think people, when it comes to law enforcement, you know, we do hold law enforcement to a higher standard. And I think we should, because they wield a lot of authority, and they have sometimes fatal authority in certain situations. But I think people also need to think and give everybody in law enforcement a little bit of grace, because Dave and I were talking about this in the break. Every day that they're on the job, they're dealing with that person's worst day of their life. And they deal with that all day, every day they go to work. So not only did they just have a bad day at work, they had 10,000 bad days at work because of everybody that they've dealt with. For the most part, there's a few, you know, feel good stories out there, but they're dealing with people's worst days of their life every day, all day, every time they go to work. And I think if we kind of consider that a little bit, you know, maybe we could give a little grace on some small transgressions, but there are bad actors in every sector of every industry.
Well, and my response would be, Tim, I appreciate your comments, but my response would be, we've got a great law enforcement culture in Montana. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, we're not the LAPD. You know, we're not heavy-handed, us versus them. This really is a community law enforcement state. And I really like that. You know, I think, by and large, if you went into a cafe in Toole County or Yellowstone County, and you happen to see a highway patrol trooper or a local sheriff deputy, I mean, odds are you're probably going to say hello and maybe even buy him a cup of coffee, because we generally like law enforcement in this state. Now, that's got to work both ways, right? We can't have heavy-handed, for lack of a better term, Gestapo acting law enforcement, and we don't have that in Montana. We really pride ourselves at the Montana Law Enforcement Academy, which I'm in charge of. We really pride ourselves on professionalism. If you show up at the academy and you're not professional and you're not able to stay calm and not be a knothead, you're going to get washed out. And that's just the bottom line. Your local agencies are not hiring knotheads. We're hiring law enforcement professionals, whether that's for the highway patrol or whether that's for Yellowstone County, Billings PD. I don't care where you are in the state. They all have to go through the academy here at state DOJ. And we really do a good job at that professionalism component.
We got a message here from AW in Bozeman. He says, when are we going to see ICE raids in Bozeman? And actually, we got 20 seconds left here. So we're going to bring the Attorney General on back after this quick break. But I've been sort of wondering the same thing, AW in Bozeman writing in, talking about how we'd like to see some ICE raids in Bozeman. I know, I mean, here in Yellowstone County, there's a significant population of illegal aliens that are working in various industries and things like that. So frankly, not only when are we going to see the ICE raids in Bozeman, but more so, what can the state of Montana do to get those ICE raids happening here sooner rather than later? We'll put that to the Attorney General after this. David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, if you want to know what the outlier in Virginia was, the outlier was when Glenn Youngkin actually won 4 years ago by 2 points, but it was almost a perfect political storm with the perfect candidate. He is a great, great campaigner and a great candidate, but he doesn't have coattails in a state like Virginia, or Commonwealth of Virginia, which, you know, Northern Virginia is solidly dark, dark blue because all the bureaucrats in D.C. have moved there. So there was no surprises last night. The only thing that was a surprise was that, you know, polls showed that, you know, things might be tighter than they would be in New Jersey. And I had hoped.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
We are seeing something really disturbing, anti-Semitism on the rise, college campuses, halls of Congress, punditry world, around the world, sadly, right here in America. You know, Jewish schools are being targeted, synagogues threatened. It was a tourist in Midtown Manhattan beaten and attacked in broad daylight. Why? Because he was Jewish. Okay, never again is right now. And I don't know what part of hundreds of thousands of missiles fired into Israel. Israelis murdered on October 7th, murder, kidnapping, torture, rape, beheading that some people don't understand. What would you want Americans to do? What would you expect your government to do if we were attacked this way? The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're on the front lines. They're providing all the humanitarian assistance to Jewish families under threat, and they're helping people rebuild their lives. Your gift, whatever you can give, and your support is life-saving work. Please donate generously, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or ifcj.org.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls, the chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
I taught for 20 years until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble here again, filling in for Aaron Flint. We're talking to Attorney General Austin Knutson. Attorney General, we had somebody write in asking about when are we going to get the ICE raids here in Montana. My follow-up is what can the state do? What can your office do to encourage the Trump administration to get ICE here in Montana? We definitely need it.
Yeah, some great questions there. So you have to understand the limitations of ICE. And what I mean by that, there's like 5 ICE agents in Montana, in the entire state. That really is our biggest stumbling block. The second stumbling block is detention facilities. We even when we do these busts, Bozeman, Gallatin County Detention Center, guess what? Your county commission decided to play politics. They have room at the jail. The feds pay a good rate per night. Your county commission decided to play politics. Your county attorney decided to play politics, and they don't want to take any ICE detention holds, even just for 24 hours before we can get those people to a federal immigration judge. So that's a big stumbling block for us in Montana. What can the state do? Well, I've already done it. I've entered into what they call it a 287G agreement with ICE. That's a federal law that allows federal law enforcement to deputize local law enforcement to help enforce federal law. We've entered that agreement with ICE, the entire highway patrol, because that's usually the agency that interdicts and sees illegal aliens most often in Montana. That kind of makes sense. So we've entered into that agreement. The holdup has been training. We are required, the highway patrol, any local agency that enters into a 287G is required to do some federal training. And we've had some issues with the feds giving us clear directives on what that training is. So we're getting that ironed out. It's been a bit of a slow process, just as the Trump administration kind of gets their feet under them in D.C. And the shutdown has not helped. But that's what we've done. You're going to see more of this stuff. But I'll tell you, AW... the issue really for us is where do we put these people even if we do a raid? Because you got stupid local county commissioners and county attorneys like you have there in Gallatin County who are really standing in the way.
Yep, that's right. Hey, we only got about a minute and a half left here, but Attorney General, I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about the land board, because I swear every time I see a news article about the land board, it's the land board authorizing some huge massive conservation easement, some huge new purchase of state land, you know, which obviously, you know, I'm not necessarily in favor of that. There's a lot of problems with that. It makes it harder for private landowners to develop their land and things like that. A lot of times I see you as sort of the sole dissenting vote. And I guess first of all, thank you for that. Second of all, kind of what's going on with the state land board?
Well, we have one really big permanent conservation easement up kind of straight west of Kalispell in the mountains up there. Now, what do we know about that? There's a lot of minerals up there. Frankly, I'm concerned about rare earth minerals. I'm concerned about America's ability to produce them, because guess what? China has gobbled up all those mining interests around the world, and they've put an absolute chokehold monopoly on them. They know that we need those minerals from everything from the smartphone in your pocket
to missile and satellite defense technology. And we're not producing them in this country anymore. Well, guess what? Montana is rich with them. So when I see these federal conservation easements come before the land board, I'm not opposed to conservation easements. At first blush, they sound great. We're going to let sportsmen have access, public access. That's wonderful. The problem is, A, they're perpetual. I don't like perpetual. As a lawyer, perpetual means forever. And we're really handcuffing future generations. I'll vote for them if there's a year term on them, but I don't like perpetual. But this one is particularly egregious because it's a federal-funded conservation easement that locks – it's basically going to have the effect of locking out the mineral owner.
That's true.
We're never going to have the ability to mine.
We very much appreciate the Attorney General coming on the show today, taking messages from our callers and listeners, as always. We've got 1 hour left. Thank you, Attorney General. Appreciate it so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Bye.
From the again, here's that song again.
For the 100th time today,
here's that song again.
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
Yay! Here's that song again. It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times. Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Let's put out this campfire.
Dad, Smokey Bear said to.
Drown it with water. Stir it with a shovel and repeat until cool.
Wow, where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
KBUS.